This is the fifth day of the February 2019 7-day retreat in Springwater. There was a moment this morning coming up for the sitting time before talk, a little bit late as usual. Trying to get on the balcony quietly, sliding into the chair. A chair. That the sun came out, lighting up the snow, the deck. And for whatever reason, for a moment, there was no commentary. Nothing about nothing. At this moment, sound, call it sound, wind, call it wind, or call it nothing. And it came up this morning that that's not what the system is used to. Likes to name things or maybe create a little narrative. Nice sun, warm sun. Nice to see the sun. And it can feel a little weird not to have that narrative going. Although at this moment, it doesn't feel weird. Just enough words to convey what's seen at the moment. No need for an editorial. Yeah. What is it? Light on the eyes. The winding. Call it listening or awareness. What is it? And it came to mind, or it's coming to mind, that another function, if that's the right word, of the narrative is to locate or to create, or maybe it's an accident of the narrative. The location and the creation of a separate listener, of a person, that's me, has to be me. Who else could it be? Who's experiencing this? It's clear at this moment that this body can breathe itself, at least while it's working. That the wind, the sun coming in and out of the clouds, is in no way dependent on this story. Could say, fine, that's great if you're sitting in a retreat. But in daily life, interactions with others, don't we need to assert ourselves? Find our place? And I don't know. It could be an experiment. To see if it's possible to take a moment off. To not be somebody above or below or in competition with or friend with the other, the world, what we call the world. With the snow and the sky, the wind. It came up in a couple of private meetings, maybe more, to wonder about this I, what we call me. It's kind of a theme in certain traditions, or certainly in Buddhism, maybe in Hinduism, and maybe in some ways in a lot of religion. I don't know, I'm not a student of religion. But certainly growing up in a Christian church, there was a value placed on being self-effacing, although maybe not that much. And there's always ways around these things. One can play at this being self-effacing or being humble and be very competitive. Very concerned about oneself. And even the structure of religion often points to this idea of salvation, or of at least becoming, what were people talking about yesterday, fully enlightened, so that we could have a problem-free existence. Actually, this brings something up, it's an aside. It came up in that discussion of full enlightenment yesterday, maybe it was the day before as well, I can't remember. Certainly the word has been kind of tossed around a little bit in group. And this is purported to be a conversation, a dialogue between the Buddha and one of his followers, disciples. He was asked by the follower what he had obtained through full enlightenment, through complete and perfect, I can't remember all the adjectives, enlightenment. And he replied, according to this narrative, absolutely nothing. Nothing was obtained. And that's why it's called complete, perfect, unexcelled enlightenment. And it comes up, who would obtain it? Is it something outside of us? We see the world in that way, don't we, most of the time? This and what's outside of us, what we want, don't want, who we are, who we aren't, who we identify with, who we despise, and to say, it can come up real quickly that, oh no, that's not me. I love everyone, well, except for the Republicans. The people who hate or who don't believe what I believe. And this isn't said because this to point it that there's something wrong, that there's some perfected ideal of no self or complete self-abnegation, but just a wondering, what constitutes this thing that we're calling me? Or maybe looking a little more carefully, quietly in a retreat perhaps, a number of people have talked about this through the years, that even without actively thinking in these kind of separating terms, there's still a feeling that, I don't know if the word is feeling or some ingrained belief that manifests of a belief I'm separate. Bringing to mind one particular retreat that this person went to. I don't know if anger came up in one of the talks. Tony would frequently talk about strong emotions. And for whatever reason, it was taken up. Just to see if there was anger here that wasn't recognized. And it was incredible to discover. It was just almost constant. if somebody stepped in front of one, getting the soup, going to the door to get out, if there's somebody blocking you, just a kind of bristling sense of me and you, and you're in my way, and why are you? Again, maybe not in so many words, it was more, I like the word bristling, this is what it felt like, just little stickiness coming out. I have a picture of, and it's probably inaccurate, of atoms that bounce off each other. Or of a need to protect my space, the kind of circle I draw around something I'm calling myself. But it's not just that. Or maybe it is, and maybe it just manifests in different ways. But what was coming to mind is that the circle is also to protect my ideas, my ideas about myself, or about who I am, what I'm good at, I had one memory come up today. From fourth grade. Funny how these things sometimes get stuck in there. And the teacher noticing, I read a lot even at that age, much more at that age than this age, and noticing that, oh, you have a good vocabulary, a good way of putting things. And nobody had ever said that before. And maybe that's why it stuck. It was the seed, the germ of an identity. And I worked hard to nurture that. Kind of put aside science and math. And if somebody somewhere along the line said something critical, contradicted that, it was hurt, anger, so this narrative became part of, I don't want to say central, but it certainly became part of this me, and then kind of seeking out or obtaining more, what we call positive feedback, more praise, finding that girls like it if you write poetry. Write narrative. That one can be somebody through what one did, and kind of at times there was an ability to really just do, or maybe do is the wrong word, but just to be really involved in the writing, reading, But maybe in a way that became secondary to this identity. Something's coming up, it may take a little, explaining to make it make sense, but it did come up, and I think it was in the group yesterday or the day before, that at the Rochester Center, and I wasn't there as much as some of the other people. I wasn't living in Rochester, sort of in the heyday. Came back when this place was starting up. But anyways, this is a story I was told about a woman who's been involved here, and she got, there's a kind of an honorific for passing your koan, your first koan, I think we've covered that, what that is, of having a, called a roksu, or it's a kind of an apron. And how much that meant to her. Just having that. A kind of an energy boost. Acknowledgement. And this wasn't told in a way of putting the person down or critically. Just noticing, and this was something they reported and that this other person told me about. It makes sense. I think we can see that in daily life when somebody recognizes us, what we've done, especially if we were working hard, or maybe we were getting just totally discouraged, feeling like nothing really mattered, and I just grind away. And suddenly there's this kind of infusion. You can do this. Maybe we're missing that here. The reward. Of course, with the reward, there comes punishment, either internal or external, that one hasn't achieved, one should. There was somebody here, it was just heartbreaking. He was so. Person isn't alive anymore, but I don't think this is a secret. He had this great longing for enlightenment, for genuine, certified, bona fide enlightenment, and had a high standard. So if there was an opening, a quieting, it was never quite good enough. Maybe it was good for a few days, or maybe even a little longer, a month or a year. And then the doubts crept in. Did I really get it? Do I really have it? And worst, and maybe, or I don't know if it's worse, but towards the end, will I die without it? Without having achieved this one thing? One glorious opening. So what's harnessed to obtain what somebody claimed was nothing? Fine for him to say from his vantage point. It's this same thing, isn't it? This sense of someone here who lacks something, who isn't complete, and maybe the things that we learned when we were young that we were good at it, that just hasn't brought the satisfaction that we were hoping for. Or it did, and that wasn't enough. This sense that there's someone here who needs something, who lacks, or perhaps is not moral or good enough, or just not good enough in whatever sense we want to take it. It can be, so many of us can hear that voice at times. You're not good enough. You fuck up all the time. And then again, maybe there's a little breather, and then the voices return that are so convincing. Convincing, not only the content, but the implication that there's somebody here who is that description. That the thoughts, because they're thought, the feelings, because they're engendered, indicate, are evidence that I'm here. And just wondering at this moment, is part of the allure of that, and that sounds like a strange word, but part of the allure of that is to maintain. It's funny to say this, because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever in one level. But to maintain the sense of me. I mean, why would one go to that length if things were working anyway reasonably, sanely? But maybe we are kind of crazy some of the time. Or maybe even a lot of the time. Maybe that's too strong, but it feels that way right at this moment. That by putting myself down, or occasionally lifting myself up, or comparing myself to the others, or I'm not that great, but at least I'm better than so-and-so, they're really screwed up. I maintain this steady sense. No, it's not steady, flickering sense. Because it's not the same thing from one moment to the next. It's always called me, but it's like a zillion different characters. So maybe we search, wonder, is there a core? Core me? It's like the Buddhist phrase, a true nature, true self. Well, what would that be? And where is it? And again, maybe for the first time in this talk, to wonder. If it's okay to just wonder about this. not to draw a conclusion. If one's interested, maybe one just wants to repair or consolidate or come up with a better self-image. Or maybe one is really interested. Is there something besides the image? With somebody, I remember a really young fellow who was on staff here. And something, I guess it was in one of the dialogue groups. I'm picturing it was in the apartment at the time. And just suddenly, it just came to him. What am I when I'm, if I'm not the story? The image, the collection of images, the scrapbook. Or somebody brought up in a meeting this week, flicking across the screen, on the touch screen, all the different images, the different narratives. What if there was nothing at the core, around the core? No core. What if? How would we function? Do we need an image to be with each other? Are we expecting that from someone? Or feel that others expect it of us? I don't think so. I can't think of anything more wonderful than being with someone who expects nothing from you. No little show. No commentary. No judging. Just responding. Listening, seeing what comes, what's here. Listening. Breathing. Maybe breathing, thinking, thoughts coming and going. But maybe for a moment, not getting caught in the context and the content. Just thoughts, wind, quiet. Maybe wondering. an open wondering. There's no question coming right at the moment. But wondering in the sense of, I don't know. But there's an openness of being here. Don't have to know everything, anything, in a moment of listening. And then the talk here.